Kim and I are getting, I've been taking steps to get to know our neighbors. In the last few years, we have sought to take Christmas cookies to most of them on Old Trail Creek Road. But some of them far, way far down where you might not have been yet, haven't been home. You knock on the door, we go back, or else they have gates, or else there was one real long driveway at the end that we never managed to get up. Well, we're doing our neighboring series, and Kim and I are thinking to ourselves, we have to be good examples. I got to take that step. As I was talking to some other neighbors and giving them a flyer, because we had a neighborhood barbecue, one of them said, oh yeah, so-and-so up the road. Oh yeah, they pull guns on people all the time. Oh, gulp. Well, I got on my motorcycle. My little motorcycle armor is not bulletproof, but I guess I'll go up there. Well, let's see what happens. So I start heading up the road. I see a no trespassing, private property, get lost, trespassers will be violated. I get to these large 3x3 signs with skulls and crossbones. I'm not kidding. There were two of those. And I'm getting closer and closer. I'm like, Lord, what if I die neighboring? I'm just thinking to myself, if they shoot, I hope they have good aim because I don't want to live with whatever. Anyway, crazy thoughts going on in the mind. Well, I get up there. I get to their house. I take off my motorcycle helmet. These folks come outside the door. Hi, I'm your neighbor. I'm inviting you to a barbecue. Don't shoot. I didn't say don't shoot. Turned out they were quite friendly. And we had a good interaction with them. They had dinner like at 4:45, or that's what they told me. So I headed up to the next place. I had not even gotten off my motorcycle, swung my leg around, and the guy, he came out to greet me. And I'm trying to take my motorcycle home. Hi, I'm your neighbor. Here, I want to invite you to a barbecue. And I had an even better talk with him. It turned out to not be quite so scary. They didn't come to our barbecue, but I do plan on taking Christmas cookies to them. And I will ride my motorcycle so they recognize sort of who I am. But you know what? It was kind of scary. You know, we had some of the pot growers down. And so me being a manly guy would send the kids first. Oh, wait, no. Well, sort of, yeah. We won't talk about that one. But I did take the kids with me because I'm figuring, you know, I'm leading the way. They're carrying the Christmas cookies. And they were never home either. But I will tell you, I don't like scary situations. And I get nervous going to neighbors' doors as well, especially long drive-bys with multiple threatening signs. And because I know some people around here moved here because they don't want to interact. And that's a fact of life. But I want to be a good neighbor. I don't like awkwardness either. I mean, in some ways I know Lord has called me, put me in this awkward spot to go talk to people that kind of freak me out sometimes, but it doesn't mean I don't get nervous. But I've been learning through our neighboring series especially that Jesus has given us instructions. He says, love God and love your neighbor. And neither of those are always easy or comfortable. But I'm trying to really lean into it. And you know, last week we talked about how what really gets in the way sometimes of neighboring is many of us are really busy. We don't have much time. Some of the other of you have time, but no energy. And so when you have energy, you gotta do the real important things. But really what it comes down to is priorities. What do we do with the time we've been given? I'm wondering, how are you doing with your block map? Has anybody been making progress on that? Has anybody met a new neighbor? Good. Anybody gotten to know existing neighbors a little better? Hey, we're making progress. And I want to tell you, I'm so proud of you. Because as I've talked to some of you, and Kim's talked, you've talked to Kim, I've heard several say, I don't like this study. Because it's threatening. Because it's challenging. It's not just fill out the worksheet on the book of Philemon and come and discuss it. It's, whoa, go out and do things? Wow. But I want to tell you, I'm thrilled because those of you who are uncomfortable, I was with somebody this week and they met one of their neighbors and they kind of leaned over me and said, hey, look, I met one of my neighbors. And I'm like, yay, good job. Because remember, this is not just a 3-week sermon series, not just a 6-week small group study. This is introduction to a new way of life. But I've been thrilled because you are leaning into it and taking small steps. And so be encouraged. This is great. Seeking to love people who aren't lovable is not normal behavior. I realize that. We all have challenging neighbors. And you know, I know for a fact that Satan doesn't like it when we seek to love God and we seek to follow him. So it's very likely that as you, some of you have taken steps to get to know your neighbors. Some of it's gone really well, perhaps. Some of you, though, may be finding your neighbors even more unlovable lately. Don't raise your hand if that's the case. But I'm sure some of you are going, oh, I'm supposed to love my neighbor, and they do this to me? But you know what? Satan is going to oppose you. There is a spiritual warfare when we take Jesus' word seriously. He's not happy. But, you know, I heard about a family that lived in a neighborhood and close to their neighbors, and whenever a ball or frisbee went in the neighbor's yard, the neighbor would throw it back with a note attached to it that said, I hate kids. You know, that's not really feeling the love. Other of you may be finding that you're trying to reach out to neighbor and they're not really responding well. Now, I didn't get these texts, but I did find them. And look at this. Hi, I found your cat Checkers outside of my street. There are lots of coyotes. This is dangerous for pets. I can return them to you or give you my address. You can come get him. Smiley face. What's the response? He's an outdoor cat. Don't worry. He still has his claws. Don't bother me again. Are you serious? You bothered me again. I can see you can't follow in directions. Oh, so much for trying to be nice. Okay, how about this one? Hey, sorry to bother you, but I'm making cookies and have all the ingredients but milk. Could I borrow 1.5 cups of milk? I'll replenish it tomorrow. I don't drink milk because it comes from cows, and no species should drink the milk of another species. It's disgusting. So that's a no. Yeah, that was a no. How about this one? Hey, what's the thing you do when the internet stops working? Oh, you mean reset the router? Yeah, could you? You've been using my internet? Yeah, and I'm in the middle of Walking Dead. Could you do it soon? We all have neighbors like that. Oh, my goodness. How about this? Remember that coat of mine you borrowed and lost last year? Yeah, I already apologized, but I'm sorry. I saw you wearing it yesterday. Oh, I thought you were out of town. I hope those are not your neighbors, though I do know some of your neighbors have barking dogs, and they have smelly plants, and they have loud music, and they come and go at odd times, and it may not be easy. You know, if it was easy to love your neighbor, I don't think Jesus would keep saying, love your neighbor, love your neighbor, love your neighbor. I don't think Galatians would mention it, and Ephesians and other places, but we are hammered, love your neighbor. And one of the things that can get in the way is time and also fear. You know, let's face it, we live in kind of scary times. You watch the late night news, you don't sleep well. You wake up, you read the paper, and you go, oh, that's what was going on when I was sleeping or wasn't sleeping. And when it comes to neighboring, it might be that you are afraid to take a step to get to know someone because of what they physically might do. It could be if you are hanging out with certain people, you might be afraid of what other people might say about you. I saw you going into Lucky's too. What were you doing there? I was actually neighboring. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Maybe the circle you're in. It could be you may not know what to say or how to get started. Maybe you're afraid. You fear how people are going to respond. Or maybe if you connect with the neighbor, the messiness in their life may be piling up on your doorstep. That can be a real issue. You know, and some of us are more fearful than others. Some of us are not fearful of anything physical, but share my feelings? Oh, no, that's scary. Other users are the total opposite, and I realize that. But fear can really take over, and it can get in the way of us doing what God would have us do. And it can really block blessings in our lives as well as around us. You know, Scripture over and over says, do not fear. And I looked up, here's just a few passages. And let me tell you, there's dozens and dozens of times. Be strong and courageous. Do not be in fear or dread of them, for it's the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And Joshua, have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. In Psalms, I sought the Lord. He answered me. He delivered me from my fears. When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. In Isaiah, fear not, I am with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand. Don't fear. I have redeemed you. I've called you by my name. You are mine. Hear me, you who know what's right, you people who have my law in your hearts. Do not fear the reproach of men or terrified by their insults. Jesus said, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of the Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Speaking of sparrows, well, that was interesting timing. For those of you who didn't see, the sparrow kind of bumped on the window. So, 2 Timothy 1 says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. And we'll be back in 2 Timothy next week. Amazing. Over and over, as God's people, we're told, do not fear. Why? Because God is with us. Because God is strong. Because God is powerful. Because God is loving. And because God is on our side. And we can take our concerns and our every thought to Him. Be anxious for nothing, but present your requests to God. But that doesn't mean just because God says, don't be afraid, that we don't struggle with that. I've got my own areas, you've got some. Reaching out to neighbors can be scary for lots of reasons. But when God has said, go and love your neighbor, He will help us, even if fear is a big issue. Jesus faced a lot of times where He was criticized for those He hung out with. It seemed like if you read through Scripture, He was always coming or going from a party. And there were a lot of people that did not like that. But Jesus wasn't concerned with how they responded. They'd say, what are you doing hanging out with them? I'm loving on them. That's what He did. In Luke 5, he went out and he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed Him. Then Levi held a banquet for Jesus at the house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law who belonged to the sect complained to the disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Levi didn't have physical problems, but he socially was an outcast. He was a tax collector. He would shake down his fellow Jews. He would take a large cut for himself and pass on the rest to the Romans. People didn't like him. But Jesus saw beyond that. He was willing to interact with this guy and later even call him to follow him. Levi, Matthew, the one who wrote the gospel, amazing what God did in him. Back in the Roman times, meal times were really reserved for family and friends. And if you ate together, that implied social acceptance. So when Jesus is going and hanging out with this guy and eating and drinking in an appropriate way, He was really saying, I am accepting of who you are. And God did an amazing thing through that. Jesus was criticized, but He didn't have fear what others said because He knew that He should be doing His Father's will. And if we are hanging out with unsavory types, we don't have to fear what others are saying. Now I'm saying be wise, don't be foolish, but really keep in mind what God would have us do. Later on in Luke chapter 7, there is a situation where Jesus, again, He's been invited to have dinner with a Pharisee, and He went to the Pharisee's house. Pharisees were very concerned with purity of life. He's reclining at a table, and suddenly this woman comes in, and she's led a sinful life. She's known to be a prostitute, and suddenly she brings some perfume, and there's going to be this interesting dynamic because she is going to start to weep. She's going to wet His feet with her tears. She's going to kiss His feet, pour expensive perfume on Him. And the Pharisee is thinking to himself, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he'd know who's touching him, what kind of woman she is. And Jesus is reading her thoughts. Wouldn't that freak you out? But actually, He already knows our thoughts. And so Jesus tells Simon, this Pharisee, a story. And He talks about two men who owe a ton of money to a moneylender. And one owes, 500 denarii, the other 50. A denarii is a day's labor. None of them can pay it back. And so the moneylender cancels the debt. And he says, who would love more? The one who is forgiven a little or a lot? And he said, well, I suppose the one with the bigger debt. And so Jesus says to Simon, do you see this woman? I came to your house. You didn't give me any water to wash my feet, which she should have as a good host, but she wiped my feet with her tears. You didn't give me a kiss as it greeted me as an equal, but this woman's kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head and refresh me. She's pouring oil on my feet. Her many sins have been forgiven. He who's been forgiven much loves much. Jesus, like a Pharisee, could have been afraid of being defiled or corrupted, but he wasn't worried about that. He wasn't worried about what others were saying. He wasn't worried about the personal spiritual effect. He was more concerned that he related to her. And I love the fact when he says, "Do you see this woman?" The Pharisee simply saw someone who was dirty and should be pushed aside, wanted nothing to do with them. Jesus saw a person in need of himself. I think I heard a story about the first George Bush, and he was asked, "Hey, what do you think about Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake? They got together." And his reply was, "Don't know them, don't want to know them." That may be the case for you. In some ways, for our neighbors, don't know them, don't want to know them. You see what they're like. You see how they act. You hear how they interact. They may use some more colorful phrases that you don't like to use at your house. And they're offensive. And they're always talking about our Lord and Savior, but not in complimentary terms. We know folks like that, and it's kind of rough. But Jesus is saying, "Do you see these folks?" When it comes to our neighbors, I think he wants us to say, "What would Jesus do?" He wasn't afraid to mix it up with folks. He was not afraid to connect with those who were different than he was. When you think about it, Jesus was perfect, and he had no sin in his life. So everyone, including us, would be sketchy people because we have sin in our lives. But you know, sometimes we're afraid of people because we don't get to know them. And so you may be thinking about your neighbor who always has the shades drawn it during the day, who only comes out at night and returns in the morning, whose skin is very pale, and you start checking the boxes. Yeah, that's them. And then you start getting freaking out. I'm not going to go check them out. But you know what? If you did a little more investigation, they may not be on the FBI's most wanted list. They just might happen to work nights, and they don't see the sun. And so you really have nothing to be afraid of. Sometimes we can be afraid, and there's no reason to be, but we're afraid because it's an unknown quantity. What are we going to find there? You know, sometimes we put labels on people. Scary, tattooed millennials, or whatever the case might be. But we tend to put labels on people, and we use those labels to stay away. You know, guys at the end of the street with guns, in my case. Well, I'm not sure. Okay, I'll go there. And it turned out okay. But it can keep us from reaching out because of fear. But greater is he that's innocent, he that's in the world. Paul, over and over, he faced struggles. I'm about 99.9999 convinced that you are not going to get mugged by your neighbor. Be wise. Don't go. I wouldn't go visit them at 10 o'clock at night. But I don't really think you got to fear. And if you do have to fear by going to knock on their door, then you probably live in the wrong neighborhood anyway. But we don't want to turn love your neighbor into just a metaphor, something for other people to do. Be thinking about how can you connect with neighbors in the next 3 months. Maybe you could invite some folks over for coffee. Maybe you could have a barbecue or potluck. Maybe you could partner with someone who lives nearby to you. You know, if you'd like more information on throwing a block party, you can check out theartofneighboring.com. They'll give you some tips. Guess what? You ask me, I can help you. I might even come, though they might think that's weird if someone they don't know in their neighborhood shows up. Consider doing something in the next 3 months, even if it's a little Christmas tea or whatever you do. Figure out your style, a motorcycle fixing party. I don't know, whatever it takes. Connect with folks. But take a step, continue reaching out. You know, you cannot control how people are going to respond, but you can control the fact that you go out there. If we, as a people of God, begin to neighbor, the Lord will not only perhaps change others, he'll change ourselves as well. And that's really what we're wanting to be like. We're wanting to be like Jesus. We're wanting to imitate him. Well, after Kim and I and the kids returned from Cambodia, We'd live with family for a few months, and then one of our supporting churches in Portland said, hey, we've got a little house right across the street from the church that the church owns. You can stay there for a few months. And so, hey, that's what we needed. We wanted to connect with folks in Portland, and so we moved out. We didn't own a whole lot at that point, and moved in our meager belongings, and we were unpacking some boxes, and we'd noticed the rainbow flag on the neighbor's house next door to us. And in Portland, that's pretty common. But anyway, while we were unpacking the dishes, trying to figure out what we're going to have for dinner, there was a knock at the door. So we went to the front door, and there was, oh, a guy in his 50s, kind of short, kind of skinny. And he goes, hi, I'm your neighbor, Tom. And David and I live right next door. We want to welcome you to the neighborhood. And he gave us a cake. It was almond with maple flavored frosting. It was delicious. And he said, I just want to welcome you to the neighborhood. We're glad you're here. And I'm thinking to myself, the rainbow flag, Tom and David, they baked us a cake? What in the world? Well, it turned out that he just recently had hip replacement surgery. So he was off work for a while, and he was getting better. But I was so amazed because they became among the best neighbors we've ever had. They were quiet. They would loan us things. We had a shared driveway, and we never had an issue getting in and out because they kept their yard up. They put the trash can in and out. They were great. He found out we'd recently returned from Cambodia, and he said, oh, you ever going to do a presentation? We said, yeah. Well, let me know. And he actually showed up. You know what I got to thinking about later was he could have been afraid of us. Because many folks in the gay community have not been treated well by Christians. And he and many in his community could have viewed us as the enemy, ones to stay away from. He could have thought, oh no, some more of those judgmental Christians moving in next door. What are they going to say to us? And what'd he do? Welcome. Good to have you here. I began to think about, wow, this guy overcame some potential fear to reach out to us. And you know, we didn't live next door to him very long because the church hired another pastor and we had to find other housing. And he was soon back to work, so we really didn't have a ton of chance to interact. But I never will forget the fact he lived out the great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And I thought that is so amazing because here is a man who is not in right relationship with God and yet living out the commands of Jesus. And so many times we who hopefully are in right relationship with God are not living out the commands of Jesus to love those around us. And I was absolutely struck. But I am praying for you and for myself that as we seek to love our neighbors, God will do amazing things. As I look outside the sunshine, I can't help but think about Mr. Rogers. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's October. It's like 70 degrees out there. Maybe today you can take a walk. Maybe the Lord will allow you to go knock on somebody's door. Let me encourage you, in your journey with Jesus, really make it a way of living to love your neighbor as yourself. And you know, thinking about little Tristan walking up on the balance beam, which I forgot and put too high. I could hardly hold his hand myself. You know, it was scary for him. But I was there to hold him. I was going to keep him safe. And our God will be with you, even when you have to confront fears and walk across the street or across the world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and kindness. We thank you, God, that someone came and neighbored us and shared you with us. We thank you, God, that in our journey up to this point, we may not have taken the step of loving our neighbor and getting to know their names. But God, I pray that each of us would continue to do this and that we would celebrate ways that you are working in our midst. Thank you, God, that you will be with us all the way. We give you thanks. I want to read a little from Romans 8. It says, for I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me have you stand. We're going to have a responsive reading, and then we'll conclude with a song. I know fear can be a major issue, and maybe it's not about me reaching out to your neighbors. It may be about something else in your life. Oh, Lord God, you have called us from all over this country to this community, to this church, and to our neighbors. You've called us, chosen us, and we are your beloved. You've given us the great gift of new life by the sacrifice of your Son. We do love you, Lord, but there's times we feel overwhelmed. We feel anxiety in our hearts and are terrified of walking alone. You walk with us, teaching, loving, assuring us of your presence. Leading us in your way. Protecting us. We trust you. We trust you. You will strengthen us and help us and hold us up with your righteous right hand. No one and nothing is too big for you. You are the God of the universe, mighty and powerful, wise and compassionate. You are everywhere and in every moment. Our fear is swept away in your glory.
Our fear is bound to your strength.
Perfect love casts out fear. Our fears disappear in the wonder of your love.